Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to provide remarks today regarding today's panel discussion on current and future space-to-space threats by states to space systems. For this part of the agenda, we are discussing space-based capabilities, which may be used against other objects in orbit. As we heard from our panelists, there are a wide variety of concepts for space-based capabilities, many which can be considered dual use or dual purpose, and some which include the ability to deliver a spectrum of reversible and non-reversible effects on other satellites. These concepts span from basic projectiles to complex space systems and can include kinetic kill vehicles, radio frequency jammers, lasers, high-power microwaves, and robotic mechanisms. This is an important category to discuss at this open-ended working group as we think about norms of responsible behaviors and issues related to the prevention of an arms race in outer space. However, as our panelists noted, there are serious challenges to a discussion of regulating behaviors related to space-to-space counter-space capabilities, which can be broadly broken down into three categories: technical challenges, definitional challenges, and verification challenges. With regard to technical challenges, as Assistant Secretary Stewart discussed yesterday, the United States believes that the most pressing anti-satellite threat arises from ground-to-space weapons, as demonstrated by a number of destructive direct-descent anti-satellite missile tests. Instead of building a fragile and expensive satellite, many of these ground-based systems are generally easier to develop, test, and maintain, and thus can be significantly cheaper to acquire. To date, four countries have undertaken the deliberate behavior of conducting destructive direct-descent anti-satellite missile tests. Some of these tests created thousands of pieces of debris that threaten all countries' satellites and increase the potential for misunderstanding and mistrust. As Ms. Victoria Sampson of the Secure World Foundation noted yesterday, as these tests continue, states may begin to normalize the destructive testing of direct ascent anti-satellite missiles. This normalization would be concerning and inconsistent with the long-term sustainability of outer space. Unlike ground-based systems, space-to-space technologies have a number of significant technical challenges. The operational space environment itself is highly hazardous, bombarding spacecraft with invisible radiation, requiring spacecraft to avoid dangerous and sometimes untracked debris in each orbit, and necessitating operators to maintain a delicate balance between the wide spectrum of temperatures created from being directly heated by the sun versus freezing in the coldness of space. Size, cost, and weight are factors that must be taken into account in order to launch a satellite into orbit. Once launched, there is no easy access to a space-based capability, whether to access its functioning, fix any issues that occur after launch, or physically review its capabilities. Moreover, most space-based capabilities must be able to maneuver relatively close to their target to conduct their mission, whether that would be on-orbit servicing or potential weapons deployment. Maintaining tracking, consistent control, and operating with precision is delicate and difficult, compounded by a finite amount of fuel and operating lifetime while in orbit. Secondly, as we have discussed extensively here, there is the need to be careful in our deliberations not to develop definitions of space-based weapons that could constrain new, novel, or valuable capabilities merely because these capabilities have an inherent ability to be misused because of their dual-purpose nature. As we heard this morning, novel capabilities have the potential to provide and enable space-based services such as communications for underserved communities. The presentation by Ms. Aiwa Imato is an excellent example of the challenges we face with those dual-purpose systems. On-orbit servicing satellites will allow for the extension of life of satellites, and in the future may be able to repair and build satellites in orbit. Active debris removal systems will have the ability to maneuver or deorbit non-operational satellites, rocket bodies, and other debris thereby helping preserve the long-term sustainability of the outer space environment. Some on-orbit demonstrations have included the use of a net, a harpoon, or magnet to accomplish this task. Just as we talked about the robotic arms as a possible counter-space weapons, robotic arms could also be used for this type of on-orbit servicing capability. The capability to, The capability to grapple another satellite is inherently dual use. Such a capability could be used to repair, service, or dispose of a satellite, or alternatively, to degrade or destroy another satellite. If we create broad definitions of weapons that include the ability to say, quote, destroy, damage, or disrupt the normal functioning, end quote, of a satellite, we may end up constraining the development of these promising systems. Alternately, we could be creating a situation where misunderstandings or misrepresentations about these systems could lead to miscalculations or an increase in tensions. Finally, beyond definitions, there are still questions about how you would verify that a system was a weapon, partially because of the definitional questions and the dual-purpose nature of such systems. Even were we to be able to craft effective definitions, there are no proposals for how to do verifications of weapons in outer space. Verification, as we all know, is a painstaking, resource-intensive, difficult, and essential part of arms control agreements. But how can we verify whether a satellite in orbit has, for example, a missile on it? How do we understand the intent of a country with regards to its on-orbit servicing capability? Let us discuss another example. NASA has been working for over a decade on planetary defense, that is, how to save the Earth from asteroid impacts. So later this month, NASA will smash their, quote, double asteroid redirection test satellite, also called DART, into the Didymos moonlet in order to deflect it. In essence, this will be a satellite initiating an autonomous collision with a space object. But the behavior is benign and beneficial. So how do we avoid hindering its peaceful use? And while we continue to address Earth-to-space anti-system satellites as a priority, it is right for us to consider how to identify and develop norms about how the satellites operate in space. Yes, their behavior. We will reserve our ideas for specific norms, rules, and principles of responsible behavior until the next scheduled session of the OEWG. But in the interim, we urge states to carefully consider how to articulate the specific threats and the potential harms arising from space-to-space behaviors. Then, we should determine which behaviors could reduce misunderstanding, misinterpretation, or miscalculation, while also acknowledging and taking into account the associated technical, definitional, and verification challenges. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of